You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast, William Hill's look at the top flight football this weekend from the Premier League. As always, myself, Dave Kellner, alongside Mr. Lee Phelps.
Hello.
And Derek McGovern joins us on the line as well. Derek, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, chaps. I hope you're still full of admiration for my tipping prowess last week. Okay, the nap didn't go in, but it should have done Everton. But how many winners did I come up with last week, including Bournemouth to beat Man United, yeah, and Newcastle to beat Tottenham?
It's funny, loads, Derek. It's funny, I couldn't count them on one hand.
I thought I had loads right, so it can't be, because I think we disagreed on most things last week.
You got none right, I got 10.
I remember the one I did get right was Norwich 1, Everton 1.
Did you get?
I've been cheated out of a nap winner this week, a nap void this week. I had De Bruyne, and I thought if your anytime goal scorer didn't start, it was a void bet. DK went and had a look at the rules and regulations. Turns out if he comes on, your bet stands, isn't it?
I'm more bothered, Derek, in making sure Lee has a losing nap than I am about backing a winner myself.
You get more pleasure from that, don't you? Lee losing than yourself winning.
I'm an awful person.
Gets a lot of pleasure.
Let's get stuck into this weekend's football. Then we'll start with the live televised matches. And Newcastle United versus Aston Villa is first up, Saturday 5:30. Newcastle even money, the draw 11-5, and Villa are 3-1. Enhanced odds here: Jorginho Wijnaldum to score and Newcastle to win is 4-1. Scott Sinclair to score and Villa to win is in the betting at 8-1. Mr. Phelps, a couple of big wins for Newcastle, yeah, against Liverpool and against Tottenham in front of the Sky cameras the last couple of weeks. And for the third consecutive week, this match is televised, which could be a good thing for them. And they're playing Villa, which is also a good thing.
That's the best thing, I think. It's Villa, because they do look like they're struggling for their lives. The manager, all right, he made an impact in that first game against Man City when they got a 0-0 draw, but he hasn't really done an awful lot since. All right, maybe you could say the 1-1 at Southampton was good. My problem with this is that it would be just like Newcastle to having done all that hard work to go and undo it with a ridiculous result at home to Villa, who are 3-1. I think it's stretching it a little low. I mean, Newcastle were odds against earlier in the week when we were looking at this, and now even money, they've obviously been backed in. I think the draw is a big player here. I think Aston Villa will have shown that if they set up to frustrate and be organised, they can get the job done. Did it at Southampton, did it at home to City. Admittedly, they got spanked by Everton. They conceded 3 at home to Watford. But they're away from home here. They don't have to go out and try and win the game. They can sit in and allow Newcastle to attack them. I think what Newcastle did well against Liverpool and against Chelsea was that they did the opposite. They allowed the bigger team, against Tottenham, against Liverpool, did the opposite. Allowed the big team to come onto them and try to hit them on the break. I don't see this Newcastle team suddenly going from not being able to string, you know, wins together to suddenly winning 3 on the spin. And I think Aston Villa will do their very, very best to thwart them. If you don't quite like that and you think Newcastle might nick it, then the obvious way to go would be, you know, Newcastle to win an under 2.5 goals. But I'm going to go for the draw here. I think they'll do well. The other, very quickly, if you think it's going to be a score draw, Wijnaldum has scored 7 goals this season, all of them at home.
Yep.
7 at St James's Park. Obviously, a lot of those came in one match. He's not a bad price, you know, really, to get on the score sheet, 21-10 at home.
Yeah, and a lot of people will look at that headline offer as well. Jorginho Wijnaldum to score and Newcastle to win is 4-1. Only one player has scored more home goals this season than him in the Premier League, and that's Jamie Vardy.
I was going to answer that for you. That was a quick question.
With 8 of them. Derek, your thoughts on this one?
I think Newcastle are real good things, to be honest. Even money, I went for them last week because I thought they'd get so much belief from that Liverpool performance and results, and they did indeed. I mean, they were easily Tottenham's measure last week, and that, you know, this is a Tottenham side who've won their all kinds of praise all season long. It was a great performance, the second in the run. And if you said to Newcastle, right, you've had 2 great performances, we want to get 3, who would you like to play next? Villa at home, please. And look what they've got. I just can't see any. Villa are 3-1, and many, many times, Lee, I've said, you know, Villa away from home, I'm always prepared to back them at big prices. Not this time around. I just think, look, they could well be, by the end of the season, the worst team ever to have played in the Premier League, couldn't they? That's how small their points haul might be. And I look at their lineup, and I just don't see how they can get anything from this game. I think Newcastle are real good things, and evens is a gift.
Even money Newcastle draw 11-5 Villa in the betting at 3-1. On to Sunday's live games, and we'll start with Watford versus Liverpool, which is a 1:30 kickoff. Watford's 3-1 to win this. The draw 11-5 and Liverpool in the betting at even money. Odion Ighalo to score and Watford to win is 7-1. Philippe Coutinho to score and Liverpool to win in the betting at 4-1. Those two enhanced odds offers here for this game. I think this is better the weekend, Derek, here.
3-1 Watford.
Yeah, 3-1 Watford.
I know. I mean, Liverpool are evens. This is the same match, same price as the game we just talked about. And, you know, who would you rather back? Newcastle are evens to beat Villa or Liverpool are evens to win at Watford? I mean, you know, Newcastle all day long, wouldn't you? Crazy. I just can't have Liverpool. This is Watford who've won their last three games, playing against the Liverpool side who haven't won in their last three. And they've played Newcastle, Sion and West Brom. You know, I just don't understand it. Liverpool are evens because they're called Liverpool. The odds are all wrong and Watford got to be backed. Just got to be backed.
What was Jurgen Klopp doing last weekend, by the way, Derek?
Do you know what? I was embarrassed, right? And I thought that most Liverpool fans would be embarrassed, right? But I was speaking to a couple in the pub last night and these are the lads who went the match and they were just caught up in it. You know, afterwards
really?
They were thinking, why did I do that? But they were just caught up in the moment. You know, they were delighted that he did it. So, you know, to do that, in the cold light today, it looks a ridiculous thing to do, an embarrassing thing to do. And yet he's got the fans on side. The fans were swept away with it. So he's obviously doing something right. You know, and maybe all the talk about it has masked the fact that Liverpool have failed to win in their last three games. Since that, everybody was, you know, talking how brilliant they were following that 6-1 win at Southampton. They haven't put a foot right. They were absolutely woeful in their last away game against Newcastle. Absolutely terrible. You know, and a 2-2 draw at West Brom. Even money, it's a criminal bet.
Yeah, I agree. Liverpool even money, Watford 3-1, the draw 11-5 here. They've slightly flown under the radar, Watford. It's the highest points tally after 16 games from a newly promoted side since Hull got 26 points back in 2008-2009. On that occasion, Hull only avoided relegation on the final day of the season. Yeah. I'm sure that won't be the same for this Watford side. 3-1 Watford to win here.
Yeah, not under my radar. They were my tip to stay up
they were,
at the start of the season.
They?
Yeah, I thought I was a little worried early in the season when the goals weren't coming, but I had a feeling that they had so many good strikers that if one of them would click, then they'd be okay. Because that's all you need really to survive is one striker to click and score you high teens. As it happens, two of them are clicking, aren't they, at the minute? And you know, the goals at home have been hard to come by, but now they're starting to come in. 6 goals in 8 matches they've scored at home, 5 of them in the last 3 games. So yeah, that just proves that you know, they're starting to get things right. That they drew a blank against Palace, drew a blank against Arsenal, scored 2 against West Ham, 1 against United, 2 against Norwich. Ighalo and Deeney sharing those 5 goals. In fact, Deeney scored an own goal in there as well, so he's got 3 himself. That's the worry here for Liverpool for me. The other worry for Liverpool is that we've seen how when a team reaches a pinnacle. Derek, we always say, when you win like the League Cup, it's hard to then come back off the next week, isn't it? Now, having drawn at home to West Brom, they're going to have to come down from such a mountain, aren't they? You know, how do they now get back into normal football? A trip to Watford after the heights.
Well, if they win at Watford,
I mean,
they'll end up parading on the roof of the stadium.
Have you heard any news about an open-top bus tour with a win at Watford? I don't know. I mean, maybe that'll be saved for later on in the season. But all joking apart, what Derek said there is that it may well mask that performance. But we've gone from Klopp losing one game at Palace in, what was it, in about 6 or 7, wasn't it? Maybe 8 even. The 6-1 win at Southampton, all of a sudden it's like Klopp's a genius. And then the wheels have just started to unscrew, if not fall off. I'm a little bit concerned for them. And it's hard to disagree with you guys in that 3-1. I think Watford are a very good team. I just wonder if Liverpool will allow them the space that they need here to go and beat them. I think Norwich are weak. Watford beat Norwich at home last time out. They beat West Ham, which, you know, that was a good result against West Ham. Lost to Man U, lost 3-0 to Arsenal. So when they've played two of the better teams, they've come unstuck. I'm going to go for the draw here, 11-5. I think I don't think they'll quite get it done against Liverpool, but I understand why you two are going for it. What I do like is those two goal scorers, though. You know, I'm kicking myself really not for leaving the Troy Deeney bandwagon. I'm back on it this week. I think he'll score a goal against Liverpool. I think he's playing really well. Leads a team. Picks up some scraps from Icalo. He's a bit greedy, Icalo, but that's why he's scoring all the goals. But I like Deeney. I think he may be the one.
You think he's a better 9-4 than Igalo is at 2-1?
Yeah, I prefer him, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
I can't believe
just
that.
Just because he's been he's been good for me, yep. Really. I suppose I've got maybe a bit of a soft spot for him, I guess. But look, I mean, pick either. I think both good prices. But I'll go for Deeney just because he's a bigger price.
Okay, that's Watford versus Liverpool. The tea time kickoff on Sunday, the 4 p.m. start time, is Swansea versus West Ham. Swansea 23-20, the draw 9-4, and West Ham in the betting at 5-2. Enhanced odds, Bafétimbi Gomis to score and Swansea to win 7-2. And he's back, Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win in the betting at 7-1. Lee, Swansea's decline came as a bit of a surprise when we were thinking back 2 months ago. But they're in real danger now. They're only outside the relegation zone on goal difference at the moment, and still without a manager as well at time of recording. Things aren't looking good for Swansea.
No, and that goal difference won't last long if they keep doing what they're doing at home. Lost 3-0 to Arsenal, drew 2-2 with Bournemouth, lost 3-0 to Leicester. Admittedly, you know, you look at the home games they've had so far this season, and they haven't had an easy run. You know, they started the season off with Newcastle. That's pretty easy. But they had Man United, they've had Everton, they had Tottenham, Stoke, Arsenal, Bournemouth and Leicester. So only two of those, really, that you'd expect, given the form we've seen from Leicester and Stoke this season, that you'd expect them to get results against. And they drew with Bournemouth and they beat Newcastle. So, you know, let's not be too harsh on them. They've got some easier games to come. Next, you know, few home games: West Ham, West Brom, Sunderland, Watford, Palace. I know they're not easy, but they need to start picking up points now. Whether they'll do it against West Ham is another matter, though. I mean, no winning six for Swansea, no winning six for West Ham either. You know, it's not like West Ham are tearing up trees. I mean, they've missed their key player, haven't they? And boy, have they missed him! It seemed really obvious. 0-0 draw last time out away from home against Man United. Decent enough result. Drew 0-0 with Stoke as well at home. There's not many goals in this game, to be fair. I mean, you look at as well as those losing streaks, Hammers have only scored 1 in 3 away. Swansea have only scored 2 in 4 at home. So you can probably guess where I'm going on this one.
Unders?
Low on the goals here. I think it's going to be... I think West Ham would be happy enough if they came away with a point. I think they'd want all three. Same for Swansea. I think they'll both... Probably an entertaining first half. Maybe chances. Maybe even a goal each. But I think we're looking at... As the game drags on, both will settle for the draw here. Have you seen the under 2.5?
Yeah, 13-20.
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful. Yeah. But as ever, the under 1.5 at 21-10 looks a much bigger price, given that, you know, the rising price for just one goal. So I'm going to go for... I won't be surprised if another 0-0 draw and West Ham do all they can just to keep Swansea at bay.
8-1 if you fancy 0-0 in this game. West Ham do have a couple of players coming back into the fold here. Manuel Lanzini should be back. He looked fantastic before he got injured. And Enner Valencia returned against Stoke as well, so he might be back in the first team here as well. Derek, Swansea versus West Ham.
I can't believe Swansea is so short. 23-20.
Awful price.
It's a shocking price. And, you know, how would you rate Swansea with Villa? Probably looking at the league table, they're a better side, but only marginally. I don't think there's that much in it, to be honest. I think they're, at the moment, Swansea are going nowhere, same as Villa. And yet, you know, West Ham would play at Villa on Boxing Day, and I've got the prices up here, the Hills prices for that game. West Ham are only 6-4 to win at Villa, and yet the 5-2 to win at Swansea. Mm. Big, big difference that, isn't it?
When
you know, so either the ridiculous, way, way too short for the Villa game, or they might be just too big for this Swansea game. I'm thinking the latter. I think this is a great chance for West Ham. Let's not forget they've been to some of the top grounds this season and won. Okay, their form's tailed off a little bit because they've been losing players, but some of those players are coming back now. And, you know, okay, they haven't won in 6 games, but they've met some top, you know, decent opposition there. Tottenham, Everton, Man United. Well, Man United, if you can call them decent anymore. They're not losing games. You know, they're not losing that many games. This match has finished a draw the last 2 seasons, but I think West Ham are worth the bet here. I can't see them not winning this game. 5-2 is a good price.
5-2, the Hammers in that Swansea-West Ham clash on Sunday afternoon. The big one on Monday night, 8 p.m, Arsenal versus Manchester City. Arsenal 7-5, the draw 21-10, and Man City 21-10. And all out with the enhanced odds offers. Olivier Giroud to score and Arsenal to win is 4-1. Aaron Ramsey to score and Arsenal to win is 6-1. Raheem Sterling to score and Man City to win is 7-1. And Sergio Aguero to score and Man City to win in the betting at 4-1. Both these teams have faltered slightly as well, Derek. It's not been we've mentioned this on the podcast on numerous occasions. It's not been a vintage Premier League season. And City in particular, they've struggled recently, losing to Stoke and Liverpool in recent weeks. And Iheanacho has had to save them a couple of times already this term as well.
Yeah. They've been poor on occasions. Everybody's, you know, saying Arsenal have real chances for the league. But look at some of the, ignore their European form for a moment. And these are the teams they've met in recent weeks. West Brom, Norwich, Sunderland and Villa. Now, you'd expect a 12-point haul from that if you're going to be winning the league. But, I mean, you know, only two of those four games did Arsenal win. In fact, they actually lost to West Brom, remember, not so long ago. I don't think their form is anything special. Yeah, OK, they look great against Olympiacos in the Champions League, but, you know, I'm not getting fooled by that. I think Arsenal are very, very beatable. City, their problem is consistency at their best. If I thought they were going to be anywhere near the best, I'd be all over City at these prices. But you never know what you're going to get from them at the moment. It's a difficult team to call. Interestingly, they've been to the Emirates in the last six seasons. They've only lost one, City. They've got a good recent record there. And I can see them going and getting a draw. I don't think they're big enough for me to back because of their inconsistency. But I'm not backing Arsenal. I think the draw's a big player here.
21-10 for the draw. Alexis Sanchez could return on Monday night, which would be a big boost. For Arsenal.
But would he? They're getting better results without him.
True. He's quality, though, isn't he, Sanchez? Really?
Yeah, he is.
And City likely to be without Vincent Kompany, and they've struggled without him.
Yeah.
Defensively, I think, anyway.
Yeah. Just a little quiz question for both of you.
Yeah.
How many goals have Man City scored away from home this season? Played seven games.
Just a guess. Seven goals.
14?
You're looking at the league table there.
Yeah.
Seven. Seven goals and seven away.
Is that all they've got away from home?
Probably, wasn't it? They haven't scored a goal in the last three away from home at Manchester City, which obviously I've been watching the football, but I was still kind of stunned to realise that. So, you know, drawn a blank at Stoke, at Villa, and at Man United. And he scored one at Tottenham, one at Crystal Palace. So, you know, four of the. You just think to yourself, where are they going to score more goals against Arsenal then, all of a sudden? Because Arsenal got the second best home defence in the Premier League. You know, you marry those two things up and you would think that Arsenal should be able to beat City with the firepower that they've got at the moment. Especially in Olivier Giroud, who's been great, 9 goals in the Premier League, 17 goals this season in for club and country. Obviously, you know, he's doing really well. He's scored both ends against Sunderland, is that good at the minute. Been great in Europe for them as well this season. I kind of agree with Derek in that I find it hard to go against City when they're 21-10.
They've drifted massively in the market all week.
Big price, though. But I might sit on the fence here and leave the outrights alone and just go for a goal scorer. But I do like Giroud. He scored in his last two games against Manchester City. Because
scored last week as well.
Yeah,
someone napped that.
Yeah. 29-20 score this time. Bit shorter than we had last week, isn't it? I think he was a bit bigger.
No,
than that, was
bigger
it?
Than what we had last week. 11-10 he was.
Oh, I thought he was bigger.
No, he was 11-10. Yeah.
But look, I mean, Giroud to score and Arsenal to win is 4-1.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it?
I could make an argument for that. I think it's a nice price because I think City are just struggling to score goals, and as we know, that they are struggling to keep them out with Kompany not there. So look, I'm going to go for an Arsenal win here with a Giroud scoring 4-1.
Okay, and one little stat here, if you're following the stats, 5 red cards in the last 5 Premier League matches between the two. At the Emirates, which surprised me, and the red card in the match is 9-4 if you look in the cards markets here, which isn't a mammoth price, but it's something to definitely have a look at. Arsenal 7-5, the draw 21-10, and Man City 21-10.
Do you think that City still win the league, Derek, by the way?
Yeah, but only by default, only because nobody else is good enough to win it.
I've been against Arsenal winning it all season long. I just don't think they're strong enough. But, you know, if they go out of Europe, as we probably expect them to, City will probably continue through Europe. This is the best chance Arsenal have had for years and years and years, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, without question. But, I mean, you know, they have had big chances as well.
There's always been one team who you always say are head and shoulders above them. And I don't see City being that at the moment. No. At their best, you're right. If Aguero's firing, if Kompany's playing. But we're getting towards Christmas now and these players aren't featuring in many games. I know Aguero's due back this week. But, I mean, how long will he last? You know, and I think the Champions League will become almost all-encompassing for them in the new year. They need to get on a run now, and between now and February when the Champions League starts again. But I think City are going to be. I think City might go to the semi-finals of the Champions League. So I'm starting to wonder about Arsenal and that league now.
Leicester City. 16-1 if you fancy Leicester
City.
Finish
outside the top four.
Still, do you think?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Let's move on. We've got Chelsea versus Sunderland, non-televised matches now. All these 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday. Chelsea 3-10 to win, the draw 4-1, and Sunderland in the betting at 10-1.
Has something happened at Chelsea over the last 24 hours?
Something has happened.
I saw something on Twitter about it, and I don't know.
And hence Dodds here, Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win 6-4, Stephen Fletcher to score. And Sunderland to win 33-1. Jose Mourinho gone, Mr. Phelps. Has he engineered his own downfall here, or is it player?
He's a clever guy, isn't he?
Or is it player power in action?
He's not daft, is he? You know, you wonder, don't you? We don't know, do we? But you know, a lot of the journalists say Derek will probably know better than me because he was lunching with most of them yesterday. So, but you know, a lot of the journalists, when you listen to the radio, they say that he had lost certain players. It was becoming harder and harder for him. I wonder if that whole thing with the physios, maybe, you know, the physios and players have very close relationships because they're with them quite a lot of the time these days. You know, and I think that a physio team can be underestimated. I wonder if that whole thing with the physio has actually undone him more than he thinks. You know, maybe the players actually thought, hang on, this isn't the right way to treat people. And then the players have got the hump and everything else. But whether he's engineered his own downfall, I mean, the things he was saying on Monday night, and obviously it's easy to say this with hindsight, but I sat there watching him thinking, well, you can't say that about your players, really. So maybe he got
about
that
being
meeting.
Betrayed and well, so on, I mean, and so forth.
I mean, you can't say, if we suddenly went on record somewhere going, do you know what? I feel like I've been betrayed by my fellow colleagues at William Hill. You'd get hauled in front of the bosses, obviously.
I do it privately all the time, but in public it's different.
So
maybe
he did. He's a very clever man. He's going to get a huge payoff and he'll get a fantastic job somewhere else. So let's not cry for Jose Mourinho at all. I think he'll be maybe a little bit wounded by it, but I think he'll be sat pretty happy that there's somewhere between 10 and 40 million just landed in his bank account. What happens now, though? That's the interesting thing, is it? Do we suddenly see that what we've been expecting for week after week after week? Because we know they've got it in them. We saw it in the Champions League, that they're capable of winning games and looking better. So what happens now? Do they suddenly come out of their shell and does Hazard just suddenly have an unbelievable game and shows that he is the player that he always was and shows that it was Mourinho's fault all along? I still don't know. Still not if I'm confident enough to back them at 3-10 here. But
we're suddenly assuming that that's going to happen. But you've got to think that the dressing room will be split as well. There'll be some players in there that love Mourinho.
Well, Fabregas went on record yesterday saying, you know, thanks for everything you've done for me and all that sort of stuff. But luckily for them, it's Sunderland. You know, and although they've looked better, they lost. You know, look at the results against Everton, 6-2. Beat Palace, fair enough. Lost to Arsenal, 3-1. I think we'll see a Chelsea win here. It's just how they do it. Do they do it in style? The shackles are off. Do they suddenly become a more open team who want to attack? Or will that take a little bit of time for a new manager to come in? I'm not sure of the answers to any of these questions, if I'm being honest. I just think Chelsea will win. And I'm tempted to say that it won't be quite as easy as they'd hope it would be. I'm going to go for the old classic, Chelsea to win and under 2.5, or Chelsea to win and Hazard to score. I think we'll see more from Hazard now, providing that injury that he went off with isn't career-threatening.
And Chelsea to win and under 2.5 goals is in the betting at 2-1.
You've got to remember, I've not really mentioned Sunderland there. What they have been doing well is trying to shut up shop a lot more and trying to get points where they can. You know, that I know that Arsenal 3-1 was a bit of a different one, but before that, the unders had been landing week in, week out against the other teams they've been playing against. You know, since
they've taken a couple of hidings though, haven't
since
they?
Since that 6-2, you know, it was 1-0 Southampton, they won 1-0 at Palace, they won 2-0 against Stoke, they lost 3-1 to Arsenal and lost 1-0 to Watford. So I think they'll keep it as tight as they possibly can. So Chelsea will nick it.
Derek, what's your take on the Mourinho situation?
Well, he had to go, without question. I mean, the players weren't playing for him. These are players who won the title by miles a few months ago, and you know, now they're in relegation trouble. He's got to go. Okay, the players can't hold their heads up either. They've thrown in the towel for this manager, and you know, they should have to take a look at themselves in the mirror. But it happens at every club when players have fallen out with the manager has to go. It doesn't matter if it's unfair. Otherwise, the alternative is that they could still stay in relegation trouble. That's how bad things have been for Chelsea. Mourinho had to go, and he should have gone a lot earlier because they've been a disgrace this season. And, you know, everything Lee said about what happens now, for punters, it's a real head-scratching time. Because, yeah, Chelsea could revert to type and be the Chelsea of last season, in which case 1-3 would look the greatest bet of all time. But these odds, your odds compilers are saying Chelsea will get back to normal at 1-3. Chelsea would be the kind of price you'd be looking at if Chelsea were at the top of the league. Would they be much shorter than that?
They'd be a little bit shorter, but not a great deal.
Yeah, so there's no room for doubt in your odds compiler's mind. That's it now. The troubles are over. Mourinho's gone. Chelsea will go back to being Chelsea. Well, I'm not going to take that chance at 1-3. Not on a month of Sundays. I think it's a criminally bad price. And Sunderland, I've been to Stamford Bridge in the last few seasons, and they've won there a couple of times. I think they won there 2-1 two seasons ago. Remember that 3-0 game they won about 4 or 5 seasons ago?
Yeah.
So the record isn't that bad there, and they have been playing a hell of a lot better. No, I'm not going to go for them at 9 or 10 to 1, even though I think there's a better chance of an upset. But I'm going to go for them with a 2-goal starter, or just under even money, 17-20. I think that's a massive price. The odds are all wrong. 1-3 Chelsea is criminal, and I've got a feeling that Chelsea's problems are not all about Mourinho. I mean, yes, they've got to improve now he's gone. But some of those players, I'm thinking Costa in particular.
Yeah.
Their reputations are far and away above what they're capable of. And I think Fabregas had gone about 2 seasons ago, he's showing that this time around. There's more problems than Mourinho at Chelsea.
I wonder who's going to pick the team on Saturday as well. I can see sort of a John Terry, Diego Costa partnership there.
Yeah,
Terry
will pick the team and Costa will pick a fight.
No doubt about it. Chelsea 3-10, the draw 4-1, Sunderland 10-1. On to Southampton versus Tottenham. Can't split them. Southampton 17-10, the draw 21-10, Tottenham 17-10. Enhanced odds, Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win is 4-1. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win in the betting at 5-1. Didn't know what to make of this, Derek. Southampton have dropped off badly in the last month. They've lost 4 of their last 5 in all competitions. But Spurs were sent off 4-11 last week and were beaten at home against Newcastle despite taking a 1-0 lead.
Yeah.
It's a tough match to assess, this one.
It is. I hinted last week that Tottenham may just be going off the boil. And it looked that way. Newcastle won and won well last week, I thought. No fluke in it. But then again, Southampton have gone off the boil even more. When was the last decent result? They had a 1-0 win at Sunderland. It was their last win about 5 or 6 weeks ago, which isn't great. Yeah, they were a bit unlucky to lose against Palace, by all accounts, last week. They had 1 or 2 chances, real good chances as well. Could have come away with a point there. I like the look of Tottenham in this game. I know they've gone off the ball. They're not playing as well as they were earlier in the season, but I think going to Southampton now is not daunting at all. Southampton can get beat by anybody right now. And I'm going to go for Tottenham. This match is finished in a 2-2 draw last season, but Tottenham had won the previous 2 seasons running, and I think this will be a third for them.
Tottenham 17-10, Derek's pick then. Tottenham have actually dropped a league-high 11 points from winning positions this season, and that's something that Harry Kane's mentioned in the press publicly as well. And Mauricio Pochettino, going back to his former club as well here, adds another little dynamic as well, Mr. Phelps.
Yeah, it does, yeah. I mean, I think if you look at it in the cold light of day, they just look at all the fixtures that these two teams have had recently, and I think, Southampton's form has dropped off badly.
Yeah.
Tottenham lost to Newcastle. That's their first loss since they lost to Anderlecht away in the Europa League on the 22nd of October. Previous to that, the previous game they'd lost was at home to Arsenal in the League Cup a month before that in September. Before that, they lost on the opening day of the Premier League season. Mm. They've not done an awful lot wrong to be saying that suddenly the same price as Southampton had to win. Southampton have got no win now in the last 5 games and not scoring that many goals either. They've really dried up, I think. At least Tottenham are still scoring goals. The Newcastle win was bad and it looked that. The worry is that they're running out of steam in the second half of games and they can't get that fitness back. So I wonder if this will be a bit more of a calmer kind of game. They might not fly out the blocks quite as much. I do like both teams to score in whatever result I go for here because, Tottenham, if you just look at the Premier League games now, they they generally score. First game of the season away at Man United was the only game they haven't scored in. You look at Southampton's home form, didn't score against Stoke, but have got goals in all their other home games, barring their first game of the season when they lost 3-0 to Everton. So generally, both teams to score does tend to land. It's 7-10, so I'm not going to be putting that up. Although it's 7-10 on both teams to score, yes, and it's 8-11 on teams to score, both teams.
Yeah.
So take your pick. But I'm going to go for a Spurs win as well. I think Spurs are in much better form than Southampton, and for them to be the same price, I think it is wrong. I think they should be favourites in this market between the two of them. So Tottenham to win and both teams to score, 9-2.
Good bet. Lots of good
bets. Massive.
Bet. Yeah, I like Tottenham as well.
That material.
17-10 to win that game.
This one, didn't I?
Tottenham, Southampton versus Tottenham. Is a 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday, as is West Brom versus Bournemouth, which is next. West Brom 8-5, the draw 21-10. Bournemouth in the betting at 9-5. These two sides are 13th and 14th in the league respectively, but there are 4 points, Lee, separating the two. The betting would have looked very different to this if you'd priced this game up a month ago, but since then Bournemouth have gone on a terrific run with draws against Swansea and Everton, followed by wins against Chelsea and Manchester United. I think West Brom are huge here, Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Mm. I do. They're on the Knapp shortlist this week.
Oh, really?
They are.
Your Knapp shortlist just starts with W. Everyone starts with W.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
Basically.
They have been good. I mean, obviously, the 1-0 win at Chelsea was fantastic. You know, everyone's going to wonder about that result in a sense. Drew 2-2 at Swansea. I think it's important to, you know, overall form, very good. Doesn't mean that the great away from home still. You know, you're still looking at being beaten 2-0 by Southampton. Some of these teams are very hard teams, albeit. City lost 5-1. Stoke, they lost 2-1. Norwich, 3-1. Did beat West Ham in that 4-3. Lost to Liverpool early on. You never quite know what you're going to get with West Brom at home, do you? They're a completely different team, it seems, when they're at home to what they are away. But I think Bournemouth play the right way, don't they? And West Brom do give you chances in games. I think there'll be goals in this. West Brom, 1-1 against Tottenham, 2-1 Arsenal, 3-2 Leicester. They lost 3-2 Everton. It was under 2.5 against Sunderland, under 1.5 actually. But I think there'll be goals. Bournemouth like to attack. Over 2.5 goals here is 23-20. I'll leave the result out of it and just play that. I think I can see a easier 2-1 either way.
Okay, 23-20 over 2.5. Derek?
I find it a tough game to call this one as well. I don't share your optimism about West Brom. They've had some great results recently if you look at the bare results. I mean, Arsenal, West Ham, Tottenham and Liverpool they played in the last four matches. Didn't lose to any of them. 3 draws and a win. But by all accounts, that draw against Liverpool last week, people I spoke to, Liverpool fans who were at the game, said West Brom were appalling.
Yeah, even more reason for those celebrations.
Yeah, exactly. and you can't knock what Bournemouth have done the last couple of weeks. Unbelievable performances and results. No, I don't think West Brom are good things like you do here, Dave. If I was betting on this game, I'd go for the draw because it could easily be a draw this one. Mm. But I'm going to go for both teams to score. I agree with Lee. I think there's going to be goals in this game. Just under evens, both teams to score.
Mm, that's nice as well.
10-11, both teams to score
that's
in the game.
Decent,
yes.
That. Okay. I actually prefer that to over 2.5.
Do you?
Now, yeah. But why don't you do both? You have both in that double. Both teams score match result.
You can.
Both teams to score and over 2.5.
Yeah, 29-20.
Yeah, that's right.
Manchester United versus Norwich next. Manchester United 4-9 to win this game. The draw 16-5. Norwich 7-1. Enhanced odds. Anthony Martial to score and Manchester United to win is 2-1. Wes Houlihan to score and Norwich to win 25-1. Derek, prior to Jose Mourinho being sacked, there was a huge move during the week for Louis van Gaal to be the next manager out after that loss against Bournemouth last Saturday. I suppose he's been given a little bit of respite with Mourinho going. And Norwich have only won one of their last 19 away in the Premier League.
Yeah.
There have only been 10 goals scored at Old Trafford this season. That's both... Well, home and away.
That's bang for your buck, isn't it?
They have been provided with real dirge this season, those Manchester United fans, Derek.
Well, yeah, and it's not going to get any better, is it? Because he thinks he's doing the right thing. Van Flaff faces, you can't see anything wrong with the Man United to play, and his first task is to keep the other team blank, even when they're playing at home to someone like Norwich. I really can't back United at 4-9, even though, if you look at what Norwich did in the first half against Everton last week, United should be capable of blowing them away. But then you look what they did in the second half, and your confidence is tempered massively, because Norwich looked a decent side in that second half. I find this a real tough one, I can't bring myself to back United at 4-9. A 4-9 is, but we want a pretty much guaranteed win, and United are definitely not that this time around, this season under Van Gaal. I don't know what to think. Norwich are not big enough at 7-1 because they are capable of throwing in horror shows, and they just don't win away from home. Real tough one to call. I'd leave the result out here and go on the unders on the goals. In fact, I might even go under 1.5 goals in this one, around just over 2-1, I think it is.
It's 11-4 actually, under 1.5 goals. Yeah. So just under 3-1, under 2.5 goals is a shade of odds on 10-11. Here with William Hill. A couple of bets there for Derek. Derek was talking about Louis van Gaal wanting to keep the opposition blank. Yeah, a lot of the supporters' faces are blank at the moment because the way Manchester United are playing is dreadful, really. Mm. Wayne Rooney might be back for this game, and David De Gea has said he's their motivator. So Wayne Rooney could return.
Wow. It's hard, isn't it? I think we're going to You have to make your mind up whether you think that Manchester United are going to win or not. Now, I can't back them at 4-9 either. I totally agree with what Derek said. You want to be that's the same here. You want to be sure if you're backing at 4-9. So if you think that Man United are going to win, then I think again you can go looking for a bit more value. The old Chelsea kind of, Man United win under 2.5 goals bet, because they're not going to win by 3, are they? Or are they? Because when they win, they score goals. 2-0 against West Brom. They only scored the second in the 90th minute. 3-0 against Sunderland, 3-1 against Liverpool. They are capable of scoring the goals, but it just doesn't seem that there's anywhere there. I think Norwich will set up to try and frustrate, but they lost 2-0 at Watford, lost 1-0 at Chelsea, lost 2-1 at Man City, so they're not getting pummeled every week. They got hammered by Newcastle that time, but it's whether you think. I think that Norwich will lose the game. I don't think they'll score against this Man United defence, because they didn't score at Watford, they didn't score at Chelsea. And I think I don't think Man United will score more than 2 in the current predicament that they're in. So it all leads me to think that Man United to win and under 2.5 goals has to be the bet here, 9-4. I said this last week though, and they lost. I took Derek on, didn't I, and said that there's no way. But whatever price they were, what price were they at Bournemouth? They were like odds against, weren't they?
Yeah.
And I was like, you've got to back Man United, and they lost at Bournemouth. That's a massive surprise to me. No winning 3, in all competitions. They need a win here. I think they'll get it at home. So I'll go for that. Man United to win under 2.5 goals.
It's no winning 5, isn't it, for United? They haven't won in 5 matches.
Premier League, yeah, in 5.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's a shocking run. 6, actually, I think it is. No, is it 5?
5, yeah.
Yeah, 5, including those Premier League matches, yeah.
Okay, they're impossible to bet on, these Manchester United matches, aren't they, really, at the moment?
They're tough to bet on. By a process of elimination.
9-4.
I think the Man United win under 2.5 goals. Okay. He's got legs.
Stoke versus Crystal Palace is next up. Stoke 7-5, the draw 21-10, Crystal Palace 21-10. Enhanced odds, Marko Arnautovic to score and Stoke to win is 5-1. Yannick Bolasie to score and Crystal Palace to win in the betting at 7-1. Lee, a couple of teams that are in very good form at the moment. Both have won 3, drawn 1 and lost 1 in their last 5 Premier League games. And Stoke in particular have been very solid defensively. They've kept 7 clean sheets now in their last 9 Premier League matches. In fact, Stoke's 16 Premier League games this season have produced just 27 goals, which is a league low. They're very good defensively.
Yeah, and not so good attacking either, really. Because I was looking at the stats earlier on, when we were looking at the Villa game, and Villa have scored 13 goals, and you make the argument how poor that is. Same as Stoke. Stoke have only scored 13 goals, but obviously the defences are vastly different. But I never think it's good if you've scored less goals than you've conceded, and you're vying for a place in the top 10. I think they need to turn that round and need to start improving on their goal scoring ability. You look at the home form, it's really picked up. Obviously, those 2 results against Chelsea, one in the League Cup when they won on penalties, and the following league game when they won, great. Then they beat Sheffield Wednesday, then they beat Man City. So suddenly the Britannia, they had a long time away from the Britannia. where they had away games. I think now they're starting to pick up, and you know, and we know it's a great place to go and watch your football. And I'm sure it's a great place to go and play football. 3 points between these two teams. Palace, you know, away from home, are putting some really good performances, i.e. beating Liverpool and beating Watford. But, you know, it's not quite as good as it was early in the season. I think given the prices here, I want to be with Stoke. You know, I think they'll just edge Crystal Palace out. I don't think they'll go gung ho either. I think the manager's starting to get his tactics right for whatever game they play in. And I think they'll just nick this from Palace, but I think it could be tight. Undoubtedly, the draw is a big player in this game. I'm just gonna side with Stoke here, given their recent confidence at the Britannia.
Okay, 7-5 Stoke. It does take a brave man, Derek, to bet against Crystal Palace when they're away from home. They've won 10 of the last 15 away from home in the Premier League.
Yeah, you're right there. I mean, I've made a few bob by backing Palace away from home this season. Maybe the form has tailed off a little bit. I watched them at Everton. Really thought they were a good bet that night, and they were second best, plainly second best, but although it was a very impressive performance by Everton. I think Stoke are a bit shortly. I'm a big fan of Stoke as well. I've made a few bob on them, and it's unbelievable, their defensive record. In fact, the only team to have scored against them in the last six matches were, believe it or not, Sunderland. 7-5 is a bit short, though, to beat a Palace side who are at the best away from home. Just too short for me. Palace won their last season as well, by the way. I'm tempted for Palace, but I agree with Lee. I just don't see a bag full of goals in this. You know what I'm going to do? I don't often say this. I'm going to go for a nil-nil draw here. I just got the smell of it, this game.
Okay, the nil-nil draw is 15-2 Stoke versus Crystal Palace. And we finish with a game that I think should be televised, this one. Everton versus Leicester should be a belter.
Yeah.
Everton 11-10, the draw 23-10, and Leicester 5-2. Both enhanced odds offers might be popular as well. Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win is 3-1. Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester City to win in the betting at 6-1. Everton just chuck away too many points, Derek. I don't know if you watched that game against Norwich last Saturday.
Yeah, we did, because it was a snap.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course.
It should have been 4-0.
Been 4-0, shouldn't it, at half-time? Yeah. And they continue to do that, though, Everton. It's frustrating to watch.
Yeah. And then the game before that, it was also televised. They battered Palace, absolutely battered them, and it finished only 1-1. But I've been impressed by them. I wasn't impressed in the second half against Norwich, I have to say. First half, they were brilliant. They were brilliant against Palace. They're the side I want to keep on the right side of, and their odds against at home to beat the Leicester side. Oh, God, how many times do we have to say this? Come on. You know, they've got to go. They're not showing any signs of stopping, are they? And when you get to this, when you get to Christmas and a side showing no sign of stopping, you've got to treat them seriously, and as I have done in recent weeks. I mean, I expected for a long time for the wheels to fall off. But let's not forget what they're showing this season. They also showed in the last 10 games last season as well. They had a great run then as well. So this is a Leicester side that you don't discount easily. But I'm discounting them this game. I think Everton are a better side than Leicester. I know the league table doesn't say that, but I think they are a better side, and I think they'll win here. I think Everton 11-10 is a good bet.
Lee's pulling some real faces in this studio,
Derek. I don't get how if Stoke are short, how Everton aren't short. Everton got 2 wins in 9 in the Premier League. I mean, 2 wins.
They're going
in
to
9.
Batter Everton. Are going to batter a team one of these?
They battered Sunderland 6-2, and they battered Aston Villa 4-0. Yeah, they've done the battering. I don't think Leicester fit into the Villa Sunderland category. They batter the weak minnows. I think they struggle against decent, you know, even relatively decent teams. They're 10th, and the table doesn't lie.
No.
You know, 3-3 against Bournemouth. That's a shocking result for Everton. You don't lead twice and then still draw 3-3 with a team who are probably going to go down. Norwich 1-1.
Well, Bournemouth, who beat Chelsea and Man United in recent weeks. Yeah, that Bournemouth.
They were poor then, though. They weren't that good. I mean, but Everton were 2 up and then 3-1 up in stoppage time. 3-2 up in stoppage time. You shouldn't be letting those slip, should you? That's my point. You know, I'm not saying that.
That's something they've spoken about, isn't it? Roberto Martinez has
spoken about it, but it hasn't improved.
No, it's not improved recently.
That's the thing with Roberto Martinez. Lovely guy, it seems. Speaks very well. Tells you what his problems are. Never rectifies them. Does he?
I think they're a good side, Everton.
Well, they look a good side, but the proof there is 2 wins in 9.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I'm wondering. You know, I think they should win. You know, they should be better, doing better than they are. I just don't think 11-10 against the league leaders, who are, look, we're all expecting the wheels to fall off, but they just won't, will they? They're like they've super glued the wheels on. I find it a hard one. I mean, I can't I can't really make a case for Leicester because I'm like Derek. I think they're going to lose at some point. But look at the results. They keep scoring loads of goals away from home. They're really, really good away from home against weaker opposition, admittedly. They're the top scorers away from home in the division. You know, 18 goals. That's joint with Arsenal. Yeah, they do concede a few, 9, but that's still not terrible. You know, they're still among the best 10 away defences in the division. You know, Everton's goal scoring at home, 17. I think they're
all over goals in the game. Wow. The compilers are all over that. I've just looked at both teams to score. Yes, is 1-2 this game.
Well,
sure. Over 2.5
goals is 6-10. Do you know what? I'm going to go for a bit. I think there'll be over 3.5 goals in this game.
I do.
13-8. Yeah. I'm going to go for, you might remember this from last season, 2-2. I'm going for another 2-2. I think this is it. I think we saw that. I don't know if you remember. It was early on last season when they started off really well at Leicester. They drew with Everton, drew with Arsenal, 2-2. And then the following game was 2-2 again. Mm. So 2-2 last February, 2-2 last August. I'm going for a 2-2 treble.
12-1 on the 2-2 draw. I'm tempted by the first time ever, the both score no draw bet as well, 5-4. I think there might be a result in this. And both enhanced odds offers, Lukaku to score and Everton to win. 3-1 Vardy to score and Leicester to win. I think we'll both be popular if people are leaning one way or the other. That's in the betting at 6-1. Naps then, chaps.
Woo!
Come to the end of the podcast.
When's that table going to arrive, by the way?
Mr. McGovern. After Christmas, I think,
okay,
that one now.
Yeah.
Mr. McGovern, your best bet.
Yeah, tough one this weekend. God. Despite what Leeds just said, I'm actually toying with Everton at 11-10. I think I'll go for Watford 3-1 to beat Liverpool.
Okay, Watford 3-1.
That's funny,
to beat Liverpool.
Quick
yeah.
mention to @Wilo74, a chap on Twitter who predicted that one of us would go for Everton. And then he predicted that you'd go for Watford, DK, which I think you were quite keen on.
Keen. I'm happy you've gone for that, though, Derek, because that leaves me West Brom.
Oh, you're still going for that?
I think it's an absolute cracker. No, I think it's a cracker. 8-5. I think those prices are suggesting that Bournemouth are a significantly better side than West Brom, and I disagree.
Okay.
So 8-5 West Brom to go with Watford at 3-1.
I'm stuck between two. One is Man United to win under 2.5 goals, which I think was
9-4.
I like that Tottenham to win and both teams to score at 9-2 as well. That'd be quite brave for a nap, though. So Tottenham at 7-4 or Man United under 2.5 at 9-4. I'm going to go for Manchester United to win and under 2.5 goals at 9-4.
Okay. Definitely play this one as a tricksy then, folks. Watford 3-1 to beat Liverpool. West Brom 8-5 to beat Bournemouth. Man United to win under 2.5 goals, 9-4. And that treble 32.8-1. The punt treble this
That'd
weekend.
That'd be some nice Christmas funding, wouldn't it?
It would. Thank you, chaps. Thank you, Mr. McGovern.
Cheers, lads.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you. Cheers, Derek.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill, or you can check us out on iTunes as well. Have a Merry Christmas, folks.
We'll be back before Christmas.
Yes.
We'll be doing one like for the Boxing Day game, so but you can say Merry Christmas if you want.
I'll give them 2 Christmases.
Okay, fine.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Mr. McGovern, again.
Cheers, boys. See you later.
Thank you, Lee. Cheers, and mate. Thanks to everyone that's tuned in this afternoon. Enjoy the football this weekend, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.